listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim Tarantine. Glad to be here with my co-host, Amanda Harrison. Amanda, you had a great conversation with one of our top site consultants. Tell us who they are and what they do.
Thanks, Tim. This week I spoke with Brian Cordy. He is co-founder and managing partner at Atlas Insight. So he brings 18 years of economic development experience to the Atlas team. Prior to founding that organization, he was a regional practice leader within BDO Seedman's Business Location Incentives and Site Selection Group and was the point person on the firm's U.S. and European site selection clients. Throughout his career, he's worked with numerous Fortune 500 companies like Wells Fargo, Allstate, Kraft, Pfizer, and Yahoo. So he's got some big experience, and he is sharing those insights with us today. Listen in. Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for joining us today on An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
So you know the question that we love to start with, and we'll just jump right in. What are three things that everyone who's listening today should know about you?
Well, just because I know the question that you love to start with doesn't mean I have a good answer. But I think that probably three things that people should know about me, if they get to know me personally, is that I am a diehard baseball fan. Absolutely love it. And growing up in New York City, I was always a Mets fan, and unfortunately in the last 20 years or so, we've been on the shorter end of the stick, but still a very big fan. I carry that over into my personal life as well because I am an avid men's softball player. So I play in a few different leagues during the spring and the summer here. And while I am balancing watching my beloved Mets and playing softball, I also love to spend time at home with my wife and three daughters.
Fantastic. So how do your wife and three daughters feel about all the baseball and softball in your life?
Well, I think that they put up with it, knowing that it's the only outlet that I have to be around men.
Perfect.
Knowing that so it's definitely a good outlet for me.
Great. Absolutely. Well, off to a good start. Tell us a little bit about you professionally. How did you first get involved in site selection?
Yeah, it's a great question because I think just like everybody else, I kind of just fell into it. I don't know if many people go out with the intention of being in the economic development field or in the site selection consulting field, but I think it's something that once you know that this industry exists, it's a really exciting field to explore deeper. I was very fortunate. While I was attending Rutgers University, I was working on a very simple campus job, wound up running into somebody who needed some assistance in the computer lab. I offered to help her out. Turns out that she was a graduate student who was coming back to get her degree, who worked for a small boutique consulting firm called Mintax. And she was so impressed with the level of support that I gave to her while I was working on this campus job, she insisted that I come and intern for the company that she worked for. I was very reluctant to do so. I was very comfortable doing what I was doing before, and this meant me having to purchase a car and having to drive to an internship a few times a week. But I agreed after she definitely twisted my arm. And wound up starting working for that firm. And that firm basically at that point in time centered around identifying credits for companies that they had missed on their tax returns. And I started working for them in an internship capacity. They liked me a lot, so they offered me a full-time position. And then within a few years, we had started a new division in the company that dealt more with international site selection and more discretionary incentives. So going beyond the income tax credits and looking at the more discretionary incentives that were available for companies that were in the site location process. Through a series of things that happened internally at the company, I wound up at a very young age being in the position where they asked me to lead that group and kind of get it off the ground. I don't think they had much expectation of me or of the group at that point in time, but they knew it was something they wanted to dabble in, and I was a relatively cheap employee and young and single and aggressive, and so they kind of turned the reins over to me. And basically at that point, I just kind of dove into it head first, absolutely loved it. I had a great mentor as well, someone who was in the industry that was not working for Mintex or had left Mintex, and then, you know, really kind of guided me in the process, introducing me to a few key players. And like I said, I just absolutely fell in love with the industry, fell in love with the idea, the concept of helping companies decide where they should locate, and then learned as much as I could over the next few years, and then built that division at Mintex out to, you know, a very formidable consulting practice. And that was how I got my start in this industry and been doing it ever since.
Wow. So a chance encounter in a computer lab led you to a very serendipitous start in site selection. That's a great, great story. I'm so glad that you told us about that. I want to talk a little bit more about, you mentioned having a mentor in the industry. What's maybe one leadership lesson or one just life lesson that you maybe learned from that mentor that you would hope to pass on to others?
Well, I think that, you know, the key thing that I learned from that was the value of relationships, and that it was equally as important to be technically competent and well-versed in law as it was to be personable, to get down to people's levels individually and get to know them a little bit, and then also to be able to lean on those personal relationships, whether it be with a client that you're working with, that you're trying to get them to see your point of view or trying to get them to trust you, or if it's in a sales situation, or even when you're negotiating incentives, let's say, with an economic development organization, having those key personal relationships and always being upfront and, you know, not holding any information back and making sure that people view you as someone who they can trust, I think has really helped me, you know, work through the ranks in this industry.
Great. So relationships are key. I kind of want to take that one step further and ask you about marketing. So ideally, all of the economic developers listening today or communities listening today would be able to establish great relationships with the site location community. But if that's not possible, what are some of those marketing strategies that you've seen that are really effective and that tend to work on you personally?
Well, first of all, I have to say I disagree with it a little bit because I think that everybody can. I think it is possible, even for a smaller economic development organization that doesn't have a large-scale budget, I think it is possible for them to establish those existing relationships, that they just have to maybe work a little bit harder at it. But it certainly is feasible for them to do so, even on a limited budget. But if you're looking at doing things outside of creating that relationship, I think that realistically in today's environment, you know, having a strong presence on some sort of social media or via email communication is absolutely imperative. So we get an absolute ton of, let's say, newsletters and things like that from organizations. And I always find that the ones that gear themselves towards site selectors individually, rather than putting out a, let's say, a very broad brush type of newsletter that they're sending out to, you know, tourism folks and to Chamber of Commerce people and to site selectors and business owners, you know, those don't really do very well because they don't contain the specific information that we're looking for. So having the social media presence, you know, on Twitter, on things like Facebook, on LinkedIn, and then having effective messages that you're sending out through those vehicles, or if not on those vehicles through email, that are geared directly towards site selection consultants that contain information and stories that are relevant, I think gets you noticed a lot more than if it's just more of a general broad brush approach.
Great. Good answer. I like the fact that even the marketing strategies that you recommend still involve that relationship aspect. So pushing that level of specificity requires that you know who you're communicating with, which goes back to relationships. So great. Thank you for tying that all together. Personally, for you, Brian, how do you define success for yourself?
Well, I think that success is really defined in two ways for me. And I don't think I would be a consultant if I didn't care about financial goals. You know, we tend to work quite hard at what we do. We travel a lot. It's a lot of demands in our time. It's a lot of pressure involved when we're working on a project. But I think that the financial rewards of being on this side of the fence definitely are extremely positive. So I would be lying if I didn't say that that was part of it. But I think, as we all know, no amount of financial gain is really worth it if you're miserable in what you're doing. And so for me, having a successful life and a successful consulting practice really also revolves around the types of clients that we're servicing and the types of projects that we're doing. You know, we try to be very selective with the clients that we bring on board. And by that, I mean that we're really interested in working with companies that have a good project and have a good story to share. It would be really difficult if my life revolved around having to deal with, let's say, companies that are just starting out in the process and, you know, maybe have unrealistic expectations about where they're going to grow or how they're going to grow and what they're going to, you know, do and what government agencies should do to support them in that endeavor as well. And so I think that's another key part of this as well. You know, if we were dealing with companies that were very pushy and demanded unrealistic things from communities, particularly as it relates to site preparation or incentive negotiations, you know, there has to be a healthy balance of them understanding that we can only push so far. There's only so much clay that's out there to work with, and that the only fair and equitable solution at the end of the day is to kind of divide that clay up, you know, in some format, but that, you know, one side really shouldn't be absolutely losing on the deal. And so having a successful practice and being successful to me encompasses not only being able to earn a good living for what I'm doing, but then also being able to have positive outcomes on both sides, both for my clients, where I can look back and say, hey, we helped them make the best decision possible. And then also on the community side, where the communities look back and they say, you know what, the company that Brian brought to us, they have been an absolute great corporate citizen. They've been fantastic for our community. They've provided excellent jobs and training opportunities for the residents that we have here. And I think that when you have that outcome, that's really when you look back and smile on the inside a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sort of peeling back the curtain on that and giving us sort of an inside look into what it means for you to find success, and finding that balance is a fantastic description. This is going to be our last question for today, so we will get you out of here right after this. Brian, if you could tell a room full of economic developers just one thing, what would that be?
Well, I would say, again, you know, the relationship thing is key. I know that we are living in a digital age, and there's been so much change in the last 20 plus years that I've been doing this type of work. You know, the advent of the internet, it's really been tremendous. But no amount of information that you can ever put on a website, whether it be demographics or incentive information or building availability, is going to replace the ability for you to sit down one-on-one with somebody and say, this is the reason why I think I can help you and your clients. And that message resonates, I think, so much more with so many of my peers than people give it credit for. So we continue to push to develop bigger and better information sites. And that's great. It's a fantastic tool. But when a company or an economic development agency is doing that, they really should not lose focus on the core of the business, which is being able to effectively communicate that message to people, which is not, hey, I'm going to put my website out there for somebody. It's a great website. Everybody should come find me. It's let me go out there and tell people the reason why they need to go to my website and look at all the great things I have on there, because I've got a great story to tell. And so I think that's the key, you know, that I see some economic development agencies losing sight of, is that you really need to maintain that sales process to complement the additional information that you're putting out there on an everyday basis.
Brian, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. I can hear the passion in your voice as you talk about this industry and specifically the importance of relationships. So we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. And congratulations again on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be a part of that group.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.